Think of a Chazal today.
That's a famous Chazal, and the Gemara says that Ein l'chol kol parshu parshu shabatorah she'ein bo tchias ha'nesim. There's no parshu in the Torah, it doesn't have tchias ha'nesim. What does it mean to say? It means to say that every parshu in the Torah there isn't a parshu in the Torah that doesn't have yesodos, fundamental principles. That if one analyzes it properly, you will see that there are basic principles that come forth out of every parsha in the Torah. I would like to take up not just a parsha, I mean, of course, it means a psukim also, chazal as well. I'm going to take up an interesting chazal that Rashi mentions, where it says, in Miketz, in Parshas Miketz, it says, Vayamar Yosef, Pasuk Lamed, Nendim of Pasuk Lamed, Vayamar Yosef, Ki nichmer rachmav el ochev. Yeah. Ki nichmer rachmav el ochev. So it means like this. Ki nichmer rachmav el ochev avakesh lifkas. So when he saw Binyamin, he said, is this the young brother that you spoke about? So he gave him a bracha l'kim yachnecha b'nei, and then it says that he hurried because his rachmanis, his emotions came to the fore, and he wanted to cry. So he went to the room and he cried there. So it's interesting. But you see that there was a lot of emotion. This is the most of all these stories in Torah, I mean, this one is no doubt the most emotional. But it's interesting. Later it says Vayipo. After he told him, he said, after he revealed himself, so he says, Lo atem shlachtam asi hen ki elokin. And he says, Maruv Avalovin, tell them, give them instructions. And then he says, and I'll support you, because there's 5 more years of hunger. And then he says, Vayigatim Lovi Eskol Kvodim Mitzrayim, tell them all about my glory in Egypt and everything you saw. You should hurry and bring my father down here. And then it says, this is Meme. Vayipol al tzavrei vinyomin ochi vayef. Gu vinyomin bocha al tzavara. So he cried on the shoulders of his brother Binyamin, and Binyamin cried in turn on the shoulders of Yosef. So here Chazal say, Rashi says, famous Rashi, al shnei mikdoshos shasidin liyos v'chelko shel Binyamin, v'selfo leichare. So he saw that in Chalko Shabbat Yom was going to be the two Batei Mikdashos, and eventually they would be destroyed. That's why he cried. That's why Yosef cried on Binyamin's shoulders. And Binyamin, in turn, cried on the shoulders of Yosef. Why? Because it says, Al Mishkan Shilos She'osad Lios B'Chalko Shal Yosef. The Sofo Lechored. In the end, the Mishkan Shilos, which was when they first came to Eretz Yisrael, so they established a Mishkan and Shiloh, and it was destroyed. So over here, it's interesting. Why did Chazal say this? Cry on his brother's shoulders. Doesn't say before about the cried on the that he cried because of the. It's a strange Chazal altogether. Doesn't mean he cried it because his base and mikdash is going to be destroyed. So again. Yeah, that's correct. Vaynashik v'cholek, it's very good. Tazvav, vaynashik v'cholek v'cholek v'yev galayim. Lach rechim dibra chavim. Okay. Yes, correct, it's correct. That's right. Yep. Vach rechim, ach asher ra'u bochev alibo sholem in Mohem. So he went and he cried on each one's shoulder. So why do they say that they're different cry? Why do Chazal say this over here? So again, you see what Chazal say is that in the Torah, there's every word is, if you look carefully, study carefully, every word is a yesod, a principle in how to live. And apparently over here, the Yesodas with regard to human emotion. How is human emotion supposed to be expressed? Now you see that Yosef had a lot of emotion. Couldn't hold himself back. He was crying. He had to go into another room and cry there. But over here it says no. That he was crying about the Beit HaMikdash that was going to be destroyed. About the Mikdash was going to be destroyed. What's the pshat? So the answer is like this. The answer is that Chazal, Torah, Yadus doesn't deny human emotion. Doesn't deny human emotion. Human emotion is natural, and a person, the love for a brother, is very strong. And Yosef found himself in that situation. He couldn't help himself. He cried. We'll go into the Rashi why he cried. But Yadus does not believe in consciously indulging in emotion. Emotion is something that follows naturally from the person's orientation, so to speak. But to indulge in emotion, this Yadus is against. Just to indulge in emotion for the sake of emotion. So, where it says, Kinichburu Rachma Valochiv, that was something that was a natural result of the situation, say, cry. And that's correct. A person should be, a person will speak about it a little more, why a person should be, in what way a person should be emotional. I think it's perhaps one of the most difficult things to deal with. In our, especially in our yeshiva, where people want to be philosophers, want to be very logical. The question is, what is the role of emotion? What's the proper role of emotion? So Chazal didn't believe, you see, Chazal didn't believe in purposely involving oneself, that the essence of the thing is the emotion. That's why, originally, he couldn't control himself, he cried, it's understandable. But over here, he already revealed himself to his brothers, and he gave them instructions. He says, go back to my father, and tell him about the whole situation that you saw here, and hurry and bring them down to Mitzrayim. So then, what kind of a crying is this? Why did he suddenly, this is a conscious kind of a cry. You see from the pasuk, this is a conscious kind of a cry. To consciously engage in emotion is against Yadus. That this should be, to cause one to feel that this is the essence of the relationship between he and his brother is an emotional, essentially an emotional relationship, is contrary to Yadus. So what kind of a cry was this? So Chazal say, this was really a metaphysical cry. Different kind of a cry. It was a cry that had to do with the essence of each one's personality, which means the true mission in a person's life. The true mission in a person's life is really, his essence is really not simply emotional, but his essence is in terms of his perfection, in terms of Torah, in terms of his commitment to the true ideas. So Yosef and Binyamin reflected certain aspects of true ideas. And every person reflects a different aspect. As I mentioned this week in Shir, we had the pasuk that talks about Shlomo HaMelech, that says that Vayechkam and Nikola Adam, that Shlomo HaMelech was wiser than every single person. And it mentions different names. And Chazal say, who are these people? So it comes out that there's four people. Adam Rishon, he was wiser than Adam Rishon. He was wiser than Avram Avinu. He was wiser than Yosef HaTzadik. And he was wiser than Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Yeah, Shlomo HaMelech was wiser than Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it mean? He wasn't as great a Navi as Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo kom b'Yisrael k'moshe od. Navi amabik es tumanasa. That's one of the Yudim in the Torah. So, but yet, in terms of knowledge, he was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. An amazing thing. Why these four people? The reason is because the four people represent four different areas. Adam HaRishon, the pasuk says that he classified when he first was created. So he was created with the utmost perfection because he was endowed with Tzelem Elokim. And the animals passed before him. As soon as he saw the animals, immediately he started to classify them. And he started to notice the differences between the various animals and create a classification, scientific classification. So Adam Arishon really began. He was the first innovator in scientific scientific knowledge, scientific classification. Avram Avinu was the first innovator in philosophical knowledge, because he was raised in a place of Avodah Zarah, where there was where they believed in gods that were really projections of human fantasies and emotions, and he was the great philosopher, and he showed them that all this is false. And Yosef HaTzadik was the greatest innovator when it came to psychological knowledge. You see from last week how he set up his brothers, and every move that he made was directed to bring out certain facets of the personality. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest in which area? He was the greatest in metaphysics. That's why he had the Vayera Lo Hashem B'Labas Eish Mitoch Hasnah. What was the Labas Eish Mitoch Hasnah? It was a metaphysical communication that he received over there. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest innovator when it came to the area of metaphysics. So the Pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech was greater than all of them in all their fields. Interesting. Greater than all. So you see, in Yadus you have different personalities. Of course, when it came to Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu was greater. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu greater when it came to Nevuah? Because he had a different kind of a quality. What was his quality? His quality was that he could direct all his energies. All his energies were directed towards God, towards knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowledge of God. And as the Rambam says, he became like a Sechel Nifrad, like an abstract intellect. That was his ability. But the greatness of Torah, and you see an amazing thing in Torah, people see what is in Torah, they see what Torah writes. But they don't see what Torah doesn't say. Sometimes you see the greatness and truth of a Sefer by what it doesn't say. You never see the Torah taking a person and making and idolizing it. You don't see such a thing. Avram Avinu, he was the greatest in the area of philosophy. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest in others. Shlomo HaMelech was greater than all of them in terms of Chochmah. But each person had his own individual abilities. The Torah doesn't idolize an individual. Yosef HaTzadik, one of the three greatest tzaddikim, but yet it tells you, Vayeva Baisalasas Malachto, that he was trapped emotionally with Ashes Potiphar. Never spares any individual. David HaMelech is probably the most elaborate, but the story with Bathsheba is not concealed at all. Not concealed at all. Vividly portrayed. Because in Yadus, what Yadus does is Yadus does not believe that idolization is really hero worship is not really a part of Yadus. All Yadus does is it shows you various individuals and their attainments and how they were able to reach a level with their abilities in their own way. In their own way. And that's an unbelievable thing to find a safe. You don't find a book like that. Even today I read biographies about scientists, written by other scientists. And you always see an undercurrent of hero worship. You always see it. The Torah, it's absent. Don't find it. Because in fact, the truth of the matter is, because in fact any kind of hero worship of a human being really takes away from our appreciation and our shevach v'adah to kavod. Chod Hashem adula v'advura teferes v'meitzach v'ahod. That's the real shevach. There's only in Yadus is only one hero. That hero is God. Hero worship of a human being takes away from the recognition of God, and that's why the Torah doesn't know that. But getting back to the pasuk that we're discussing, so the person in terms of a person's emotion, emotion is a natural phenomenon, and we'll discuss it a little more. When should a person have emotion? When shouldn't he have emotion? Has to be some kind of a norm. But to indulge consciously in emotion, that is not the aim of Torah. Now, over here by Binyamin and by Yosef, what they did, each one had a different aspect of perfection. That's why I mentioned. Because in Yadus again, it's not the imitation of a hero. People try to imitate a hero. In Yadus is no such thing. Every person has their own tchunas, their own various different traits, and a person has to try to make the most of the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. That's why you have the brachas that Yaakov gave to all the sons. All different brachas. Ish asher kivirchosa beirachosa. He gave each one a bracha in line with his own abilities. Binyamin had abilities and Yosef had abilities. And because of these abilities, that's why the Migdash, the fact that the Migdash was with Chalko Shel Binyamin, had something to do with Binyamin, reflected certain abilities of Binyamin. And the fact that Shiloh was with Chalko Shel Yosef reflected something about Yosef. Yeshua ben Nun was, you see, the fact that Yeshua ben Nun was from Yosef is important. Chazal maintained that the various characteristics of the Shvatim were prototypes, and from them were extended these characteristics throughout the generations. So what it means was that when they got together, here you see they got together in a conscious way. That was a conscious thing. Consciously to say that this is the essence, to make the essence out of the emotional attachment to a brother, that's not a high level, it's a low level. So that's why Chazal say that what they were thinking about there was not Binyamin and Yosef as a person, as a personality, but with Binyamin and Yosef in terms of their metaphysical abilities. And why were they crying? What is the cry? The cry was because each one knew the other one had this high level of perfection. And each one knew that these perfections, these qualities and these traits were theirs because they were in the future going to be expressed in establishing the Ummah, in establishing the Klal Yisrael. That's why Chazal say, Ma'isa Avosim Labonim. That's what it means, they're the prototypes. So when they cried on each other's shoulders, what they were crying about was one thing. The fact that these great traits and these great perfections, eventually when they are going to become expressed in the practical, they're going to fail. They're not going to be successful. That's what Chazal means. Chazal are saying an idea, expressing an idea. Doesn't mean that they, just like people think, they're just looking at a crystal ball and they saw Ruach HaKodesh, two Bat HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, or Shiloh is going to be destroyed. That's not necessarily what they even saw. What they realized was that they came together. Why were they together? They were together for one reason, to establish Klal Yisrael. That was the purpose of Shiftei Kol. The purpose of Shiftei Kol was to establish Klal Yisrael. And they knew at that moment when they were together, they realized what the benefit, what the purpose of the metaphysical purpose of being together, not the emotional purpose of just being one big happy family. It was a far more important, something far more important. That was to establish the traits and the characteristics and the perfections that would eventually be transmitted to the Ummah, to the nation, would it be expressed in the perfection of the nation. But they cry because they realize that their venture will have to meet with failure. The two Bat HaMikdashos, as great as they were destroyed. Shiloh from Yosef was destroyed. That's why Chazal say in this pasuk. Chazal are very cautious. That's why they say in this pasuk, Vayipol, here you see what consciously Vayipol, Tzavrei, Vinyom, Enochev, Vayef, Vinyom, Bachos, Avarot. That was a conscious action. Conscious action, is not because of emotion. Conscious action is only because of a higher goal. Then the next pasuk, Vayinashek, Vacholecha, Vayef, Galeim, that was an emotional reaction because they were leaving. So he kissed them and he bid them farewell and he cried. It was a natural emotional reaction. The Torah doesn't look with disdain on human emotion, but it doesn't make it into an essence. That's the difference. Now over here is an interesting medrash. The medrash says, very beautiful medrash. It says the pasuk says, going back to the pasuk, Mem Gimel Lamed, it says, "Vayemar Yosef ki nichmeru rachma v'lochev." So Chazal are bothered because there's a transition here. There's something. There's a gap here. Because in Pasuk Chavtes, it says he lifted his eyes and he saw his brother Binyamin. And he says, this is the young brother you're talking about. Alakim Yachnecha B'nei. Blessed him. God should give you chayim. So what is, now all of a sudden, Vayamar Yosef Kinechmach, what happened? Something transpired here between the first Pasuk and the second Pasuk is not mentioned in Torah. So Chazal say like this. Rashi quotes the Midrash. It says like this. Sholo. He asked him a question. Yosef asked him. Yesh lecha och me'ein? Do you have a brother from your mother? Amalo, he said, och hoyali, I had a brother. Ve'ein yodei hechano. I don't know where he is. He said, yesh lecha bonim? Do you have children? Amalo, he said to him, yesh li asar. I have 10 children. Amalo, umash mom. What's their names? So the pasuk says, it's in yesterday's parasha, Bela v'vecha v'ashbel Bela shmos b'nei sobon mitzrayim, and it says it gives the name of Nevin Yomin, that's a memvav chafalaf Nevin Yomin, Bela v'vecha v'ashbel Gera v'naman Efi v'rosh Mupin v'chupin v'ard. So he gave him the whole list. Amalo, so check in Mativan shoshem asalolo. What is the meaning of these strange names? Funny names. Often, it's just like those strange names. And they stand out. So he says, what's the meaning of these names? And also, you have to realize that in those days, when they gave a name, the name was tied to an idea. It was tied to an idea. That's why it was. A child always reflects the concept of a person's immortality, because the child means it goes on, and then his children will go on. So therefore, they always used to use an idea, to immortalize an idea, not to immortalize oneself, but to immortalize an idea in relationship to God. So he says, what is the meaning of these names? So he says, Amalo, he said, Kulam al Shem Achi. They're all named because of my brother. Vatzoros Hashem Etzaul. And the troubles that befell him. Bela, what does Bela stand for? Shenivla Bein Omos. He was absorbed among the nations. Becher, Shehoya B'chor Le'imo. He was the firstborn to his mother. Ashbel, what is Ashbel? Sheshvo'o Keo. God captured him. Gero, Shenizgaya B'chsani. He lived as a stranger. Naamon, Shoyano'im B'yosef. He was very pleasant. Echi V'rosh, Ochi Hoyo, he was my brother. Veroshi Hoya, and he was my leader. Mupin, what is Mupin? Mipi Avi Lomad. He learned from my father. Vechupim Shelo Rochu Pasi Velo Raisi Ani Chupasa. That he never saw my marriage, and I never saw his marriage. Vaord, what is Vaord? Sheyorad Levein Homos. And he went down among the nations. So the Gemara says that when he heard that, Miyad Nichmaru Rachmav. So his Rachmanis became realized. Okay, but it's an interesting one. Yeah, correct. Good observation.
Not that, but just okay.
Correct. Good observation.
This is all
by Yosef. Correct. All by Yosef. Interesting. Interesting thing. You see a few things from this Medrash. The Medrash, of course, is explaining what happened between the Pasuk Choftes and Pasuk Lamed. There must have been some dialogue there. And you know very well that terrorism doesn't always mention every dialogue. A lot of times it mentions later, and you see it mentions things it didn't mention before. It can't mention it before. There's words are measured. So this dialogue is what caused Yosef to cry. So what do you see from this? An interesting thing. You see from this really a derech hafayim. First of all, you see, before we get to that, you see an interesting thing, and that is that even though the other brothers didn't have a correct assessment of Yosef, but you see that there was one brother that had the proper assessment, and that was Binyamin. That was Binyamin. Because I mentioned last week, I said that somebody asked me a question, that was a good question. Why weren't the brothers afraid that Yosef, after all, if he's still alive, he's dangerous? And why weren't they afraid that when they sold him to Mitzrayim, that he's going to write back to his father? And that'll destroy them. So the answer I gave was that they looked at him superficially, and they thought he's a person that needs other people. Because you see, the moment he has a dream, he comes running and telling everybody that he's such a great person, he's arrogant. An arrogant person always needs other people. That's why he can't exist by himself. So they thought that now, that's Vimira Mayichal Amosa. That means that that's the plank shot, Vimira Mayichal Amosa. That now we'll see what happens with his dreams. His dreams indicate that he's a personality that is a dependent personality. An arrogant person is really a dependent person, because an arrogant person needs other people in order to satisfy his arrogance. He seems independent, but he's not. He's really very dependent. The moment you take away the people that are beneath him, that are below him, he can't survive. So really they thought that with the moment that they sell him and he loses his whole footing, his whole basis, he's going to fall apart psychologically, and therefore he'll leave the whole Derech Chaim of Torah, the whole way of life. And that's why when they went to search for him in the Sheikh Shlozonos. So they thought once he leaves his way of life, his Derech Chaim, he's never going to contact his father, because he'd be ashamed to face his father. The moment he deteriorates ethically, morally, and he becomes a person who lives a low life, then he's not going to want to contact his father anymore. That's what they were counting on. But you see, Binyamin really didn't hold that way. An amazing thing. Binyamin realized that he was a person that had unbelievable strength of character. He recognized it. And why was he able to recognize it? The reason is very simple. The reason is because he didn't have any envy whatsoever of his older brother Yosef. And you see that from two names that appear there. What are the two names? Echi v'rosh. Achi hoya v'rosh hoya. He was very happy to recognize the qualities of Yosef, and that it was his brother and it was his leader. There was no envy there. Since there was no envy, he was able to recognize his traits. It's an interesting thing. When you just look at this Chazal, it says, two of them seem repetitious. You see which ones I mean? There are two of them there that seem repetitious. Which one? Yes. The nation and the earth. That's the first one and the last one. Because the first one, it says, the first child he named Bela. What is Bela? Shenivla ben Omos. He was swallowed up among the nations. The last one he named Ord. What is Ord? Sheyorad Levein Omos. He went down among the nations. It would seem on the surface that these two are repetitious, but really they're not. Why are they not repetitious? In the first one, he's passive. In the first one, he's passive. With Nivla Levein Omos, he was swallowed up among the nations. He didn't do anything. He was a victim. He was a victim. A passive victim. That's Nivla Ben Omos. In the first one, he was like a chachza. He was an object. Just an object. But in the last one, where it says V'Ord, Yorad Levein Omos, there he was a gavra. So really, these are two different things. Two different names. One name was talking about the Ashkocha. The Ashkocha was that he was supposed to be Nivla Ben Omos. That was the Ashkocha. But the last one was talking about his strength of character, Yorad Levein Omos. And Binyamin apparently knew that Yosef would not fall apart. That Yosef, in spite of the fact that superficially on the surface, Nesalsal Besairo, this same Yosef, who was concerned about his appearance and his good looks, and he combed his hair, but these were just superficial traits. There was, underneath those superficial traits, there were very strong character traits. And he knew he wouldn't fall apart. Yorad Levein Omos. So you see that Binyamin really had a correct assessment of Yosef's abilities. Now, the question is this. As I'll say that Yitzchak saw Benavuah, that Yosef was alive, but he wouldn't. It was a shvuah. He wasn't allowed to say anything like this. It would aggravate his father even more if he starts telling him that uh, what he thinks. You couldn't do it. Sometimes a person has information he has to keep it to himself. As a matter of fact, that's why these names were really very discussed. He was the only one that knew the meaning of these names. Nobody else really understood these names. They were personal names, had personal meaning to him. People's decisions about naming, if you want to see people when they're silly, you take a look when people are about to have a baby. You sit around and discuss the names. And those ridiculous ideas as to why they choose a name, absurd ideas, is crazy. There's a different level. They were on a different kind of a level. Yeah, it's interesting. There are two other ones that are pretty close. Bela means Nivla Ben Omos. And there's another one that's close to it. Ashbel, one that's not too far away. Bela Vavecher, the third one. Va'ashbel. Ashbel is Shvo'okel. Sheshvo'okel. But they're really two different things. What does it mean? The Nivla Ben Omos was what happened to him. That was his lot, was his Nivla Ben Omos. But Sheshvo'okel is referring to the story. Remember the story where he was lost in the field. And the truth of the matter is, would things have gone along normally, he wouldn't have made it. Because it was too overpowering emotionally, he knew there was something wrong, and his unconscious was taken over, he was wandering in the field. But what happened was, Vayintzoeu Ish, that was Sheshvo'okel. That God didn't allow him to go back home, to wander. Sheshvo'okel. It means that Binyamin recognized that it was a direct act of Hashgacha. But according to Yosef's personality, he should never have come back. He should never, and in the contrary, I mean, he would have come. He never should have gone, actually. He would have come back from the journey not being successful, from the shlichus not being successful. And apparently Binyamin knew him well enough to know the fact that he didn't come back, it meant that there was a Sheshvo'okel. He didn't know the story, but he had insight, and he knew it was a Shgach. There's one name here that sounds funny in its own right. There's one name that doesn't really... No, Chupin. You see, it shows you different things that he said about his brother. First of all, Nivla Ben Umas. That was his destiny. He spoke about his destiny. Becher Bechol Imo. Bechor means, what does Bechol Imo mean? He was the choice. Bechor always means the choices. B'ni Bechori Yisrael. It means that Bechor reflects the choice. He was the choicest son. He was happy to recognize that he was the choicest. Ashbel Sheshvo'okel. Geiro Shemiz Gaya Bach Sanya. What does it mean, Shemiz Gaya Bach Sanya? It means that he had the ability to live all alone. He lived all alone. Very difficult thing for a person to do. To live in a place, remove him, be torn out from his family, and be totally alone. And he had to be alone, because another person, he finds himself in another place, so he makes new friends. So, he may miss his old friends, but they have new friends. But Yosef couldn't have any friends, because Binyamin knew very well his philosophy and his ideas. And he knew with his ideas he's never going to have a friend. Because ideas separate people. The only one that can really be a friend is someone you can share ideas with, thoughts, ideas. If you come from a different world, you come from a different mindset, a totally different lifestyle, your values are completely different, there's nothing in common. So it's just, you have to be wary when you talk to the other person, you shouldn't say the wrong thing. Constantly on guard. That's what the person who is a maimon, for instance, he really can't be a friend with somebody whose whole life has completely the opposite of his existence. He has to always, friendship is always a sharing. So there's no sharing. He knew, she was Gaia Bachsang, he knew that he's gonna have to be totally alone. The man who's totally alone. Yeah, he's in the real, correct. So anyway. So Nizgaya Bachsanya. But over there, at least he had the companionship of Yisrael. But nobody. Naaman, what does Naaman mean? It's interesting. Naaman, it says, Noam Biyasa. He was very pleasant. It's an interesting thing. What does he mean to say? What does he mean to say? He means to say that the perfected person is a pleasant person. He has a pleasant personality. Because since he's perfected, he naturally is a pleasant individual. The reason why people aren't pleasant is because they're unhappy in life. They're grapes. They don't have what they want. They don't have this. They're envious of others. So they can't be pleasant. A person who's totally satisfied is a person that's pleasant. And a person that's satisfied is not satisfied because they have X amount of titles. That's on the contrary. The more titles a person has, the less satisfied he is. It brings in the more frustration. A person who is happy and who is satisfied, it's a need in a person. It's perfection. Perfected person doesn't need much to feel satisfied. And when he's satisfied, because he's satisfied, he is a pleasant individual. Not looking for anything, he's happy. Noin biyosa, extremely pleasant person. He is smiling, friendly, happy, a pleasure to be with this kind of a personality. That's the my love, nama. Noin biyosa, extremely nice. So the Rambam says, for instance, Rambam says in Hilchos Ishos, the Rambam says that one of the things he speaks about the obligations of a wife to a husband and the husband to a wife. One of the things Ram says is a husband is not allowed to walk around the house depressed. Not allowed to be depressed. He has an obligation to his wife. He's not allowed to be depressed. What does it mean? It means to say that a person is supposed to. That's a lack of perfection. That's a lack of perfection. A person. Yeah, but he's talking about the thing. You see, with regard to people, usually a person might be able to hold it. It's easier. You meet somebody, say, you don't bark at him and say, well, I'll go home later. I could be myself. When I get home, I could be myself. And people think, people look at the marriage situation, that's the place where there's no restraints. This is what I was waiting for, to get home and be myself. So this Chazal, this Chazal disagree with. Chazal disagree with. You need to be yourself. You can be yourself when you're alone. But with regard, he has responsibility to another human being. A total lack of concern about another human being. So you see that a person doesn't even have a right in his own home to walk around depressed because it's affecting somebody else. Why? Because a perfected individual is supposed to be a noin biyosa. Noin biyosa. What is the Pirkei Avos? What does it say? Mekabel kol adam b'sevar panim yafos. Means to say he should be a pleasant person. Someone that people like to be with. Enjoyable, happy. That's perfection. That was Yosef. Naaman, he was noin biyosa. He was an extremely pleasant individual. That's what the Pasuk says. Eichi varosh. I don't know, it's a funny one because it says Ochi hoya varoshi hoya. It could be he didn't give the name to the first one until the second one appeared. Could be. I mean, it's very possible. It doesn't say he gives the name for the first minute. It says, because it says Eichi varosh. Those two. It says Ochi hoya varosh. I don't know whether those two go together or it sounds like they go together. Ochi hoya varoshi hoya. Both together. But at any rate, correct. That's correct. That's what it means. Ochihoya, he was my brother, and ordinarily between two brothers there's always something rivalry. Veroshia, he was my leader. And he was happy to have him for a leader. Yeah. But also there's meaning to the word Echialon also. Ochihoya. So apparently he means to say not just that he, in spite of the fact that he was my brother, it means he was my brother on one level. He was my brother. He functioned as a brother. We're very close. And on another level, he was my leader. That's what it means. That's really, it means to say, of course it's implied that there was no that you see his perfection, that there was no sibling rivalry. But it's more than that. It's not just saying there was no sibling rivalry. It means, he was my brother, my close relationship, somebody that I related to like a brother in the closest possible manner. And also, Roshi Hoya, I shared with him as a brother, shared with him closely, and also Rosh Yoyah. But on another level, he was also my leader. Both qualities. He embodied both qualities. That's a strange, unusual kind of a situation where one individual can embody. Usually, as we mentioned before, it's Rosh Yoyah, the Talmid. The person has a Rebbe, so you have to have a fear of the Rebbe. Because I'll say that the Rebbe's supposed to instill fear. Because, and that's why he shouldn't joke around with us, they shouldn't make a Rosh Yoyah Talmidim, shouldn't joke around with us Talmidim, because then what happens is then they lose the fear. So this is necessary. But over here you see it was a different kind of relationship. In spite of the fact that it was a close relationship, Rosh Yoyah, he was still his leader. There was another dimension. It wasn't necessary artificially for Yosef to cause Binyamin to recognize his quality of leadership. He didn't have to impose it artificially. It was a natural thing. So the achva, the brotherhood and the leadership were not attached to the sasri. They were both natural. That's what it means. Now what is, okay, so okay, fine. So what do I, and then it goes further, it says, Mupim, it says, Mipi Avi Lomad. He learned from my father. What does it mean he learned from my father? He also learned from his father. All the brothers learned from their father. Wasn't it? Means to say, what did the Kuzari say? The Kuzari says that when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Klal Yisrael to have Nevuah, he wanted them to see the same thing that he saw. So he brought them to the Har, that they should see at Ha-Sinai. They should also see what he saw. What does it mean to say? It means to say, like the Rav put it very well, it was the same Hashra Shina, but it was a different Makabah. In other words, the Nevi'im that got less Nevuah than Moshe Rabbeinu is not because the source was different. The source was the same. The source was the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Hashra Shina. But the difference was because of the Makablim. The recipients, the receivers were different. Moshe Rabbeinu was a different kind of a receiver than the other Nevi'im. And each Navi, according to his Maila, according to his Madrega, is not because he didn't receive from God the same amount of Shechina that was radiated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, radiates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't because that was less, it was because the person, the Makabel, was less, was different. And that's what he means. It says, Mipi Avi Lamad. Mipi Avi Lamad meant everybody learned from his father. But he was a different Makabel. He was a different kind of a Makabel. And a different Makabel, if there's a different Makabel, it's a different Torah. That's why his Torah was unique. Same Rebbe, but different Makabel. Different Makabel is different Torah. Then he says, then you come to an interesting one. The chupim shelo ro chupasi velo raisi ani chupaso. Alright? So it means that he... Zik is a different Makabel. Probably it's not a pale pad dababo. I just want to mention this point, that it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Moshe Rabbeinu over others just because he liked Moshe Rabbeinu. It's because he was a different Makabel. Yeah. He was a different Makabel, so he could reach Pale Pah. That's the difference. Okay. Exactly. As a matter of fact, that's what they said. They said, Alo Gambonu Diber. Same thing. What's the difference? The same thing, but it's a different Makabel. That was really interesting. Yeah. Okay. Chupim shalara chupasi velo ra'isi ani chupasar. That we never share the mutual enjoyments of moments in life that are high points in a person's life in terms of his enjoyment of life, his happiness. So in the marriage situation, I was never able to have the nachas ruach of enjoying seeing his marriage, and he was never able to see mine. Be a Michael book. That's what he expressed. There's a different kind of a thing. The fact that he lacked the personal ability to share in his joy. That's what he was saying. It's an interesting thing. You see, again, if you look carefully. But I want to get back to the main point of the Chazal. What's the main point of the Chazal? It's an interesting thing. The one that's strange also is Achi. Achi Haya. Achi Haya is strange. So what is his brother? So what does it mean? Achi Haya. What is the importance of saying he was his brother? What's the importance of saying he's his brother? What's the importance of saying that? What is interesting about the whole Chazal? What's interesting about the whole Chazal? Interesting about the whole Chazal is the question is like this. Question is really Aristotle talks about it. Question is like this. Aristotle says that the chronological order of the way a state is established is opposite of the logical order. Why? Because he says, how does a state become established? State becomes established because first you have a family, and then eventually the family grows, and as time goes on, you have a village. Okay? Then after you have a village, you have a number of villages. And a state basically is a collection of villages. That's the definition of a state. So the state starts from the individual. It starts from the individual. Chronologically, it starts from the individual, and it develops into an entity of the state. But he says, but logically, it's the reverse. Logically, first is the state, and then is the individual. What does he mean? He means like this. He says, for instance, if you take parts of the body, so he says, an arm. So you can't talk about an arm. You have to talk about if a person, if you see an amputated arm, it's not really an arm. It's not really anything. It's only an arm insofar as it functions as a part of the whole. So first you must have the whole person before you have an arm. And logically, you can't have an arm before you have the person. You must have the person first, and then you must have the arm. So he says the same thing is true of the state. He says the state is the entity first, and then you have the individual. And then you have the individual. What does he mean to say? We don't think of it that way. We think of it differently. We think of ourselves as individuals in a condition of a state. But that alone can't function. It's functionless. Just visualize for a moment a human being completely alone. I mean, you're alone in the woods, and you can't function. I mean, there are stories about people that are stranded on islands. I mean, they're fortunate if they could just save their sanity. And the torment they go through, if you ever read about their accounts, the torment is unbearable. It's not a human life. It's not a human life. See, most people realize that. They realize that. Some people don't, but most people, if they think into it, they realize that. If they're honest about it. There's something in a man that doesn't want to realize that. What exactly? I don't need anybody. A person wants to be totally independent. Independent. And what's the worst thing that can happen to a person? The very worst thing that could befall a person. What is that? What is the worst thing for a human being? Is it the absolute worst thing for a human being? No. Depends on another human being. That's the worst thing. Psychologically, that's the most horrible thing for a person to live through. To be poverty is a joke compared to dependence on another human being. You see, what did the brothers say right away to Yosef? When Yosef came with his dreams, he's so excited, he told about the dreams, what did they say? First thing they said was, any kid, didn't say, why should you have all this money, and we're not going to have all this money? They didn't care about that. No. HaMoloch Timloch Aleinu, and Marshal Timshal Banu? You want to control us? You want to take away our independence? And the Gros says very well. He says, what's the difference between HaMoloch Timloch and HaMoshal Timshal? So the Gros says very beautifully. It says, Ki l'Hashem amlucho Moshel Bagoyim. And it says, V'olu Moshim Ba'atim Mishpalas HaReisha. What does it say after that? V'olu Hashem amlucho? V'hoya? What do you mean? Before he wasn't king? God wasn't king before? Doesn't say that. It doesn't make sense. So what does it mean that God will be the king before he's not? What's the pshat? The pshat, he says, there's a difference between malucha and memshola. Malucha means a melech is appointed. And you see, that's halacha. The halacha is that you can't have a melech unless you appoint a melech. That was the incident by Shmuel. They came to Shmuel. Why did they come to Shmuel? They wanted a melech. You have to appoint a melech. And the Rambam and mentions that if you learn the Rambam properly, the way the Rav learned the Rambam, it comes out that according to the Rambam, it's actually a requirement that you must have people appoint the king. And the Rambam says it in the Pesach Mishnayos. The Reish Galusa had to be appointed by the people. He's not appointed, he's not a king. No such thing as self-appointed king. Doesn't exist. Self-appointed king doesn't exist. King has to be appointed by the people. By the people. Okay. Yeah. So that's Malucha. What is Memshola? Memshola is different. Memshola means just power. Just power. Memshola, you must be appointed. Memshola means that you have power over another person. So that's what the post says. Kilat Hashem ha-melucha. God has melucha. U'moshel bagayim. He has melucha from us, because we appoint him as king. You see? That's the whole idea of Malchus. What is Malchus? Shetamli cheni alech. Should appoint me as a melech. But without the appointing, there's no melech. Kilat Hashem ha-melucha. U'moshel bagayim. But he has power, sovereignty over the nations. They don't want it, but he has it. Then v'olam moshim b'yatzim u'shparas ha'yisr v'hoysel Hashem lucha then v'yad Hashem l'malach v'lorat v'yam u'yad Hashem l'chodesh malachat. And then the whole world will appoint God. Then it'll be melucha. It won't be memshola. That's what the brother said. The brother said, ha'moloch timloch. Which one of the two do you think? Do you think we're going to appoint you as a king? Or maybe a marshal timshol bano. Maybe you just want to rule over us. But you see, what brought out their anger was what? The control in any area. You see, you don't say, by the way, you never say molech berucha. Person is a molech. You say moshel. Molech b'yitzra. You don't say moshel b'yitzra. Moshel b'yitzra. Because the Yitzhar is never going to appoint them as a control. That's moshel. Moshel means power. So the same thing is true with Dasam Aviram by Korach. What did they say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu called them down. What did they say? Hamati el son of Israel, ki sister Elena gamistara. You're going to have power over us, throw over us. That's one thing. That is the worst thing. That is the absolute worst thing. That's what Gemara says. Nichalei la'odom bekav shelo. Noach la'odom bekav shelo. Mitisha kav mitochavero. He'd rather have one cow. He'd rather live in penury and forget the Tisha Kavim. Let the other guy have it. But the Tisha Kavim for Chavero is as much as he has luxuries and everything he wants, he doesn't want. It's not what he wants. The Kav Shalom, his Kav makes him happy. This is mine, I enjoy it. So you see that the pleasures of a person are very, very psychological. And the worst thing that a person can envision is to be dependent on somebody else. Yes. You're correct in this way. There is only one system of Avdus. There is a system of Avdus in Yadus. There is a system of Avdus in Yadus. Because in Yadus, what does it mean to rule? Rule means the intellect. There's no such thing as ruling without the intellect. That's just force. But rule requires machshava, requires thought. That's what without thought, there's no ruling. Now, a person, insofar as he partakes of thought, is a ruler. But if a person is thoughtless, then he has to be ruled. Because, since he has no thought, he is just a physical body, a means, a vehicle of something else. So since he's only a vehicle, he must have a ruling element. Where is the ruling element going to come from? It's not going to come from him. Then it comes from somebody else. In such a case, Avdus is sanctioned. That's the only case Avdus is sanctioned. But there's another kind of avdus that is sanctioning the avdus, and that's willful avdus. That's avdus of a rabbi and a talmud. Kol malachos she'eved osu l'rabba, talmud osu l'rabba. So that's a different kind of a thing. It's a different kind of system. That's also because of the rulership of the chachma. That's a different kind of rulership. That's not the same kind of thing. But you see that it's actually considered. That's the only institution of avdus of slavery that you have in Yadus. Okay. But getting back to this, okay, a moloch, so a person wants to be independent. Now a person living in a society doesn't want to recognize the fact that he's dependent on the society. It's not something that makes him happy, because he wants to feel he's totally independent. So therefore, the way he looks at the society is that it's a matter of mutual exploitation. In other words, I exploit the society for what they can give me, and they exploit me too. I have to pay my taxes, I can't help it. I have to be involved willfully and non-willfully in benefiting the society, but basically I'm an independent entity, and there's an exchange going on here between me and between the society. But I don't really need the society, you see. It's an extraneous thing. It's not a personal need. It's extraneous to me. We exchange goods in order to... It's like a business. Your business is... You're dependent on your customers. You're dependent on your business partners. You're dependent on whoever you do a deal with. But it's a different kind of dependency. It's a dependency... Yeah, it's not an intrinsic dependency. It's an exploitation, mutual exploitation. So that's the way most people like to think about it. But Aristotle didn't think of it that way. Aristotle thought of it differently. He thought that the state, when he says that the state is the whole, and the individual can't be, you can't even think of the individual without the whole, without the state. But what was he saying there? He was saying something different. He was saying that the individual and the state is a natural phenomenon. That's what he was saying, basically. The state is a natural phenomenon. What does it mean it's a natural phenomenon? It means that man by nature cannot live alone. Man by nature requires others. And a natural phenomenon means it emerges naturally from human nature. That's why Aristotle made the famous statement when he said, man is a political animal. That's what he meant. He meant to say that by nature he must really have others. The idea that this society tries to project rugged American, rugged individualism is really a fantasy. It doesn't exist. Now the question is like this. Now the question is, others, however, maintain otherwise. Others maintain, oh, the individual really is the essence. The individual, but the only thing is that you can't exist without the state. Social contract. Right. Okay. What does Yadis hold? What does Yadis hold? That's the question. What does Yadis hold? Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam talks about different levels of perfection. The Rambam says that there are four different types of perfection. And he mentions which level of perfection. He mentions the level of one level of perfection is what? The first kind of perfection, he says, is wealth. The second kind of perfection is health. The third kind of perfection that a person has is more closely connected with man himself, and that is moral perfection, the highest degree of excellency in man's character. Most of the precepts aim at producing this perfection. But even this kind is only a preparation for another perfection, and that perfection is perfection of knowledge. He says, why? For all moral principles concern the relation of man to his neighbor. The perfection of man's moral principles is, as it were, given to man for the benefit of mankind. Imagine a person being alone and having no connection whatever with any other person. All his good moral principles are at rest, they are not required, and give man no perfection whatever. Okay? What does the Rambam say? Which way does the Rambam hold? Does the Rambam hold that man is a political animal, like Aristotle says, or hold man as an individual? 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 Individual. The fourth kind of perfection is the true perfection of man, the possession of the highest intellectual faculties, possession of such notions which lead to true metaphysical opinions as regards God. Okay? With this perfection, man has attained his final object. Gives him true human perfection. It remains to him alone. It gives him immortality, and on its account, he is called man. Okay. Yep. Then he goes on to say, all the other perfections have nothing to do with your essence. Okay. So it seems the Rambam holds the other way around. In other words, that really it's the individual is the essence. The individual is the essence. But, yeah, so you can answer everything by just saying all these things are necessary. But it's interesting. Yad is not so simple. Take a look at the story. Take a look at Binyamin. Binyamin had a brother. Now, how would you look at a brother? Brother is someone as great as a brother, wonderful as a brother as he was. Now he's gone. So what do you do? So now he's gone. So that's it. He was something which I exploited. It was for my benefit. And now he's gone. So forget about it. There's nothing you can do about it. But you see something unusual in this Chazal. What did Binyamin do? Binyamin never lived without his brother, even though his brother was gone. Every son that was born was named after the brother. Something about the brother. Some idea about the brother. He was brought among the nations. He was Naaman, or whatever it was. Even the very fact of brotherhood itself was one of the sons. So, what do you see from this? It is not simply, Yadav doesn't simply hold that the need of man for his fellow man is just an exploitation, is just a convenience. On the contrary, it has to do, it's deeply rooted within the framework of human nature. And if a person cannot live alone, because a person's needs, all kinds of needs really can't be satisfied. Not only physical needs can't be satisfied alone. Intellectual needs, ethical needs, moral needs cannot be satisfied alone. Because you need other individuals. And a person has to look at other individuals not simply in a manner of exploitation, but actually they're a part of his intrinsic need. Why did Binyamin name all those children after Yosef? What did that demonstrate? It demonstrated one thing, that Yosef was in need of his, a necessity for his life. And in the moment from the time he was gone, he could never satisfy that need. And every time a son was born, again Yosef. He couldn't live without Yosef. A big part of his life was always absent. Big part of life, even on an emotional level. Because you see chupim. Lo ro'isi chupaso, lo ro chupasi. But on every, as a matter of fact, if you look at those names really sum up what the relationship was on every single level. Insofar as the destiny of his brother, insofar as the greatness of his brother, insofar as his relationship with his brother, insofar as enjoying sharing together simchas with his brother. Every aspect of the relationship. Does this sound like a philosophy of individuality? No. As a matter of fact, there's a strong raya, one of the strongest raya to me, that Yadis does not believe in the philosophy of individualism, is the fact that the Torah always talks about mishpachos. You take a look in Vayigash, that's why it mentions, when it mentions the brothers, it mentions the mishpachos. B'nei Reuven, Chanoch, Chava Chatzon, B'nei Shimon, Yimur, V'yimur, Shol, and Knanos. And whenever the Torah mentions the counts, like for instance in Bamidbar, where it mentions again, L'mishpachas, L'kos mishpachas Amrami, mishpachas Eitzori, mishpachas Aharoni, mishpachas Ha'ozrieli, Elen Mishpachos HaKosi. Constantly, again and again, Mishpachos, Mishpachas, Mishpachos, Chol Mishpacha, Mishpacha. Medina, Medina, Yerva, Mishpacha. Mishpachos is constantly mentioned in the Torah. Again and again, repeated all the time in the genealogies. Why? And the counts of genealogy. What's the reason for it? The reason is that the most basic social unit is what? Is the mishpacha. Mishpacha is the unit within which, the frame within which man functions, not simply as an individual. But that's the first unit which gives him the function of a society. And that's the entity. That is, since man is, if man were an individual, it wouldn't be important. But since man is not an individual, But man functions as a socially, his social, I mean, the word social, you need a better word than that. I'm just saying, since man can't function alone, but his function really is tied in with others, it's a necessity, it's a part of his life, so you must mention Mishpacha. If man can't function in a Mishpacha, in the first unit, that means that he can't function. He is not a good man. Aristotle says that if a man who lives outside of society is a bad man, is an evil man, he's an evil man. We also have the way now. As a matter of fact, we say it's one of the people that lose the Chel Olam Haba. Am I correct in the Rambam? Mm-hmm. The person like a Tzibor? Yeah, lose Chel Olam Haba. And it's not simply because he didn't help the Tzibor. Not because he didn't help me. He didn't help the Tzibor. You always wonder, why should you get such an onesh? He didn't kill anybody. He didn't harm anybody. He walked away from the Tzibor. What's so terrible? What? Even if he keeps the mitzvahs. What's the reason? The reason is because it means that he's not functioning as a human being. He has to be evil. He must be evil. Because man by nature, it's part of his nature is that he must function in relationship to others. And he must have a bond with others, a kesher with others. Of course, after the person has to be wise, he chooses who he has kesher with. The kesher with him, whether Russia will lead him astray. But he has to have other human beings, part of his intrinsic nature, part of his intrinsic nature. And that's why Binyamin never really, what he realized was that he wasn't missing an exploitation anymore. Missing an exploitation, you forget about it. Just stop following, that's it, it's gone. What he was missing was a part of his own function. Part of his own function was missing. And that's why every day he knew he couldn't function as he did when he had his brother was with him and he was able to relate to him. That was a different kind of a life. That's something a person can't forget. The biggest exploited another individual, he's gone, whatever happened, it's unfortunate, but he's going to forget about it. But if it's a part of his intrinsic life, then he can't forget about it because every day he's missing, he's not functioning properly. The moment Yosef was gone, he couldn't function properly. And the only way he was able to go on was by constantly remembering the traits of his brother. Through his sons, what he did was he recreated Yosef. He recreated the Yosef of the past. And he revived the Yosef of the past so that whatever he had from the Yosef of the past should be able to be translated into the present. And through that he was able to survive through his 10 sons. So if a person doesn't have the best situation, sometimes if a person doesn't have the best situation, it's like a Rebbe in a Talmud. It's like a Rebbe in a Talmud. And a Talmud would always like to ask the Rebbe kashas. But sometimes the Talmud can't ask the Rebbe kashas. The Rebbe, he doesn't have the Rebbe anymore. So then the closest thing he could do is to think over the Torah of the Rebbe and try to guide himself by the method of thought that he learned from the Rebbe. So he can avail himself from the past. He can actually increase the level of his existence in the present. That was the method that Binyamin used. That's what Binyamin did. But you see, yes. What does the Rambam mean? What's the Rambam mean? Yeah. What does the Rambam mean? The Rambam means like this. The Rambam's talking on a different level. There's two levels of a person. There's a person insofar as he's a functioning human being. Insofar as he is a totality of a person, and then there is a human being insofar as his metaphysical essence, the internal metaphysical essence. Insofar as the internal metaphysical essence, there is a yachid. There is a yachid. That's it. The reality is that he's one person. And insofar as his own innermost metaphysical essence, in other words, if I were to say, for instance, at the moment that he dies, what is left? There's the individual soul. Then, which perfection would you say remains? Not the relationships that we had, that he had with other people. Everything, it turns out, was just a means for the ultimate perfection that he has at that moment. You see, that's a perfection that the individual has. But insofar as a functioning human being is concerned, a functioning human being doesn't exist. A functional human being does not exist without others. Intrinsically. It means to say, and I want to emphasize this, everybody agrees you can't live without others, because say it's very inconvenient to live without others. That's mutual exploitation. But what I'm saying is can't live without others as a personal experience. His experiences are worthless alone. He can't have any proper experiences. You know what Chazal say? A person goes alone to sit and learn. I'll go alone on the mountaintop and I'll sit and learn. And what I'm saying, Gemara says, Chayavah by the Metapshim. The person starts saying stupid things after a while. It's not just that he will say stupid things. It means that his whole experience of life is stupid. That's why he says stupid things. Because he's not living like a human being anymore. Other people are necessary not simply because you take from them. It's because your personal experience is impossible without them. They're a part of your personal, innermost personal experience. That's what Binyamin recognized. But he recognized that there was one individual that was so phenomenal, so unusual, that he was everything to him, and that he fulfilled the highest level that a person needs in terms of having an experience through relating to other people. Because he could be in an evil society, and what does it mean in an evil society? It means that you'll never have any of these experiences. A lot of people around, but people doesn't mean anything. It's people on the higher level that enrich a person's life in the sense that they permit him to have the proper experiences. That's why the Gemara says in Shabbos. The Gemara says, if you have two neighbors, if you have a neighbor that is an Am Ha'aretz, but he's a very nice person, and you have a neighbor that's a Talmud Chacham, and he's mean to you, and he shouts at you, he says, the Am Ha'aretz you should run away from. And the Talmud Chacham that's mean to you, take him and wrap him around your body. Means to say, get as close as you can to him. Why? Because as mean as he is to you, as bad as he is, you're going to gain from his perfection. But the Amar, if he's the Ramis, he's the nicest person. But eventually you're going to be reduced in stature because you're going to have to learn from his folly. It's impossible to. Because the experience of an individual, that's basically, what is the concept? What does it mean when it says, Nisrachet Mishachin Ra? Why? Why do I have to Nisrachet? People understand that. Why do I have to Nisrachet Mishachin Ra? So I won't. I'm not stupid. I'll watch him very cautiously. And I won't learn from his bad ways. I'll keep the key to myself. It won't work. Why won't it work? Because the experience of the individual is tied to the experience of the other person. It's one experience. And one experience, you can't separate. That's why it's a srachet mishahar. See, the advice that Chazal give people think that it doesn't necessarily have to be. I can live next to a bad neighbor, a friend, and I still won't love him. It's an impossibility because man by nature, if man by nature was an individual, it would be possible. And most people think of themselves as individuals, but it's incorrect. It's an inappropriate estimation of the self. It's inaccurate. It's false. So if you think of yourself as an individual, I'm not going to love the other guy. I'll take what I need and I won't take what I don't need. But it's not true. If your personal experience is tied to the other person's experience, and that is your experience, it's a mutual experience, you can't snip it off. So then it's impossible for you to be with another person that his experience becomes part of your experience and not learn from it, because it's you. It's not him, it's your experience. That's what Chazal wrote, yes. I mean, like Yaakov Avinu could never stop being Mesabel because of the fact that he knew he was really alive. He suspected. I understand. And I'm saying it's similar to the fact he wants to know if the fact that he thought that he was still alive kept him before his mind's eye more. It's possible. That's a psychological phenomenon. It could be. But it shows you another thing. It shows you even the chupin. Shelo ra'isi chupaso v'lo ra chupaso. It means that on every level. It means even experiences. A person has an enjoyable experience. And an enjoyable experience alone is almost impossible. I mean, why? Because man by nature, his experiences have to be shared with other individuals, whether it's on a psychological plane or philosophical plane, on every level. And that's why he lamented even over the fact that he couldn't share on a psychological level with her. It's also, okay, it's Chaya Shoah, but Chaya Shoah is also something. Nothing. Not the real thing. But it's part of the relationship. It's part of the relationship. Correct. Moreover, Chaye Shoh with a Talmud Chacham is really partakes of Chaye Olam. And there's halacha like that. Where do you see halacha like that? That Chaye Shoh partakes of Chaye Olam with a Talmud Chacham. Because the Gemara says, La Olam Yimko Adam is Kol Nechosav the Yisa is Bas Talmud Chacham. Why did it say that a person should marry the Bas Talmud Chacham? Should marry a person should sell everything that he owns in order to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Why? Learn by him. Be a Talmud of his. What's the reason? The reason is because if you're in the same house with him, you marry his daughter, you're gonna be with him on a different level in situations that nobody else is gonna be with him because it's his family life. So you're telling me the family life is only Chaye Shoh, but the answer is that Chaye Shoh with the Talmud Chacham leads to Chaye Olam. Because it means to say that you watch, you'll be with him and he discusses ideas, you see him in a different type of a framework. So even the enjoyment that you have with him also is tied into Chaye Olam. It's also tied into Chaye Olam. That's Chupasim. Baruch Chupasim and Rosh Chupasim. It's an interesting Chazal. And maybe well. It sets straight the philosophy of Yadis with regard to Adam. And it really, important is to realize something, I always mention this, but I think you can't emphasize it too much, and that is that the society that we live in, every society throws off philosophies. That's why is that so? Precisely because man is a political animal, like Aristotle says. Nature is such. It's a natural thing. The state is a natural thing. That's why we live in this state that we live in, which is a corrupt state, with people who have crazy ideas. So the people in it have to partake of that experience of the state, and they have to be crazy too. They have to be deficient in all manners, in the same manners as the state. And that's why when you see these ideas that are projected, these ideals, such as rugged individualism, which is just based on a person's infantile emotion, that he doesn't need anybody, and it's false, you have to realize that you're going to be affected by this idea. That's the only thing we have, is anyone who allowed a lot of terror is us. I'm going to tell you, there's hope for a person to remove the false idea. Remove the false idea. There's one more idea that you can give to yourself. Rest idea. One more idea. And that is an idea. Idea with regard to how a person should look at a tragedy. First, I want to point out what the tragedy is. Tragedy is that his experience were curtailed. But it's interesting. Most people, they look at it, something bad happens. What they say is, it's bashet. That's it. It's bashet. I have to adjust to this. It's the best thing that could have happened. Okay? The best thing that could happen. A Kodesh Baruch Hu knows it's the best. And that's true. We do say, Kashem Shem Avarchim. That would be correct. Kashem Shem Avarchim Ala Tov, Kach Mavarchim Ala Ra. But there's one thing that it doesn't say. It doesn't say to deny the Ra. That doesn't say. It doesn't say that a person should, nowhere does it say if a person has an experience of a loss, that he should say there is no loss. This is a wonderful thing, make a party and there's no loss. You see? That's not true. That's a denial of reality. So, over here, what? Yeah, on the contrary, he went through all the tzar, Zariah, he went through all the tzar. Chazal did not believe. Yeah. That's something else. That does not mean that Kol Ma'adav Rachman Latav does not mean that the person, it means in the back of his mind he knows that in the ultimate plan, Binyamin knew that there's an ultimate plan. He seemed to be very intuitive about this Hashgacha. Shvokel, he knew there's Hashgacha. But it had nothing to do with his personal loss. His personal experience of loss, he recognized. And the Torah doesn't know the person should deny the personal experience of loss. On the contrary, he should understand it, he should recognize it. He shouldn't say it's unjust. That's all that it says. He shouldn't say it's not good, because God is the source of all good. And anything that happens has to ultimately be good. But insofar as his personal experience is concerned, he just said, Baruch Hashem, that's it. Everybody knows. He's gone, there must be a reason for it. He missed every nuance of the relationship. He missed and he expressed it. That's the human situation. That's the reality of the situation. That's the reality of the situation. So a person, and not only that, he never even said, that, oh, he was Nishba Bein Umos, he's going to become a great person. I know God has a plan for him, he's definitely going to become somebody great. This is all a plan of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't say that. He just read as much as he could know, without going one step further, you see, because man can never know what the Ashgacha has in store and what the purpose of the Ashgacha is. He said, Nishba Bein Umos. That was his destiny. It was Nishba Bein Umos. Why? It didn't go to war. That's it. Shvor Kel. God captured the country. Shvor Kel means that he took him away. So he took him away. Why? Did not say anything about why. This is what the situation is. People in their lives always try to turn situations into it's good, it's bad, it's this. They can't deal with reality. Reality demands that you look at the situation, analyze it. Don't worry about God's chesbonos. No, no, person has no God's chesbonos. Just define the situation and live in accordance with the reality of the situation as it affects you. And don't say it will be good, it will be bad, it will be this. No one knows the Ashgacha. Binyamin knew precisely where to stop and precisely how far to go. And that's another thing that you learn from this chazal. That's right. Sa'ali alecha, yeah. That man is nice. She says, Sa'ali alecha ochi on him. It was an achma. It was an achma.
It was a fortune thing.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Sa'ali alecha ochi. The man mentioned also the same thing, the ochi and the ne'imus. It means to say like this, it means that a person that can't have an experience, I mean, I want to just get to the point, a person that is incapable, like what the world calls a cold philosopher, a person that's incapable of having the experience of achva, an experience of appreciating the ne'imus of another individual, is something lacking in the individual. It's from imperfection in his nature. It's not perfection, it's imperfection. Yeah, Ali Bernstein mentioned the same thing also. What we've been about before, you see from the most jitna shalaviv, that he couldn't do it, even Yitzchak Tzadik couldn't do it without, he didn't have his father in the present, but he used the father from the past.